Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The sermon title today is The Christmas Guests. Listen to just one verse from Luke 2. So the shepherds came in a hurry, found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. I encourage you to follow your sermon outline. You'll find that inside of your bulletin. What color is that outline today? Kind of a brownish color as we consider our theme, the Christmas guest. Oh, the joys and challenges of Christmas guests. You know what I mean. When everything is said and done, there's nothing like a good rest after all the Christmas guests have left. Or if you've been a Christmas guest, going from one event, to another meal, sometimes you just can't wait for a rest from being a Christmas guest. But having said that, no one wants to be alone at Christmas time. Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus had a number of surprise guests at that first Christmas. Because if the Heavenly Father in His kindness hadn't brought those guests to them, they would have been all terribly alone. You see, birth, and here's your sermon outline, birth in biblical times was a very public event. No private hospital rooms, no wonderful background music, no assisting people with a woman saying, now remember your breathing, dearie. And if you've been through it, you know what I'm talking about. Been there, I've been there. The birth of my children was so simple, I'm not sure what the difficulty was. There was no private hospital room for births at biblical times. It was a public event. Family were there. Friends were there. The neighborhood was there. It was a community celebration. It was a family event. People gathered to be there for the birth. There wasn't any privacy. It was a time of great celebration. It was expected to be so. People were there to support and to celebrate with the new parents. But this was not the case for Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem, because they were 80 miles away from home, from their home in Nazareth in the north in the province of Galilee. So for a while, Mary and Joseph and the baby on that first Christmas were all alone. And likely, sadly so. No one there to help Mary, this young woman with her first child. No one there to congratulate Joseph. Are you passing out cigars, Joseph? No one there to support and celebrate with them. But until the Heavenly Father, in His kindness, brought to this young couple Christmas guests to share their joy. A group of shepherds were, first of all, in attendance at the stable. Shepherds were blue-collar workers on the night shift. Listen to Luke 2, verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. They were blue-collar workers with dirt and obviously manure under their fingernails. They were working the late shift, the midnight shift. These shepherds were uneducated. They were poor. They were the lowest on the social realm. You would not want your boy to grow up to be a shepherd. But the Heavenly Father gave them the supreme honor of being the first guests on that first Christmas night. And the shepherds later became a faithful example and a model for Jesus' own ministry. Jesus talks about shepherds in John 10, and I quote Jesus saying, "I am the good shepherd, and a good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." From this example, Jesus compares himself with a shepherd, and he says, "I'm the good shepherd." What makes a shepherd good? Good shepherd is one who lays down his life for the sheep. From this saying, we get the popular saying, "over my dead body." You've heard somebody say that. This event is only going to occur. You are only going to get to my loved ones over my dead body. It comes from this saying where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd and I lay my life down for the sheep." What does that mean? When shepherds brought their sheep out into the fields, they would try to get them into an enclosed area for protection and safety over the night, especially from wolves or coyotes or other thieves. But often they could not find a completely enclosed space, so that shepherd would lay his body down over the opening to the area where the sheep were kept. And in a way, he was telling the wolves, the coyotes and the thieves, "If you're going to get to my sheep, you're going to have to get them, how? Over my dead body." So when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd and I lay down my life for the sheep," look where he laid down his life. So Jesus, the good shepherd, said to sin. And Jesus, the good shepherd, said to death. And Jesus, the good shepherd, said to the devil, "If you want my sheep, you're going to have to get them over my dead body," as he died for you, but as he rose again. Well, shepherds weren't the only guests at that first Christmas. There were other Christmas guests. Look at your outline. Wise men came later, and they came later to a house, not to the stable. Listen to Matthew chapter 2. By the way, even at our home, we have our little Christmas creche with the individual figures, a porcelain gift given to me 30 years ago when I first started the ministry. And in this porcelain set of the Christmas creche are the angels and baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, and the wise men are there too. And we put them up there, even though that's not what the biblical account says. Listen carefully to Matthew 2, verse 11. "And magi, wise men from the east, arrived, and after coming into the house," the text says, "they saw the child, fell to the ground, worshipped him, and presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh." The text says they came into a house. No mention of the stable. So it's been suggested that after Jesus' birth at the manger in Bethlehem, someone finally took pity and had mercy on this young family and gave them a room in a house. And it was to this house at a later time, Matthew says, the wise men came and presented their gifts. Well, it just so happens that Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, January 6th, is a celebration of what the historic Christian church calls the Day of Epiphany. It commemorates that date when, after the manger scene, the wise men came and gave their gifts to the child in the house, sometime after Christmas Day. So this Tuesday, January 6th, is the 12th day of Christmas, when the wise men are remembered bringing their gifts to the baby Jesus. Now, look at your sermon outline. There's an old Christmas carol we've sung for years and years, and it goes something like this. "We three kings of Orient are," and you know how it goes on from there. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that this wonderful Christmas carol, although it's enjoyable to sing, probably has at least three historical errors in it. Let's look at these. First, it says, "we three." According to Matthew's account in chapter 2, how many wise men there were is not told us. Where do we ever get the idea there were three wise men? We get the idea of three wise men because there are three different gifts that are mentioned. There are gifts of gold, there are gifts of frankincense, and there are gifts of myrrh. And it's supposed by some that three gifts meant three givers. But no, when people traveled in caravans in those days, because you know the historical picture of the wise men on their camels. When people traveled in caravans, they traveled in far greater numbers than just three for purposes of protection and safety against thieves, against wild animals. The carol says, "We three kings." Well, if you read Matthew's account in chapter 2, it never says they are kings. It calls them magi or wise men, which we'll talk about in just a moment. These wise men were probably scholars and astrologers studying the heavens. We'll talk about that in a moment. Then the carol says, "We three kings, where are they from?" "From Orient are," says the carol. Orient refers to the Far East, like Japan or China. These wise men, because they were studying the stars in the heavens, were probably from ancient Babylon, what today would be called Iran or Iraq. In fact, in today's Sunday morning Bible class, and here's a commercial, by the way, every Sunday morning at 9:30, we have Bible class. End of commercial. In our Bible class this morning, in the book of Isaiah, it was Evelyn Tweedy who wrote a passage that talked about Babylonians as those who were astrologers and studied the stars. These wise men who came to visit Jesus were likely from that area. Well, now, what is a wise man? In Matthew chapter 2, in the original Greek language, they're called magi. We've translated that as wise men. No one is fully sure what a magi really was. But if you think about it, magi is the root to the word, and it's related to the word magician, magi, magician. In those days, magicians were not like Merlin in cartoons. Magicians were those who worked with the magical arts but studied the future, studying the stars. They were probably astrologers. Because Matthew says, what were the magi doing? They were following the star. And what about their gifts? What were the three gifts they gave them? You can say it with me. They gave Jesus gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, to ask a teenage question, what's up with that? Why didn't they give the baby Jesus an M3P player, an iPod, a sled, a Nintendo, or... No, they gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Tradition says they gave these gifts was because gold was a gift fit for a king. And Jesus, of course, is the king. Tradition says frankincense, and it is a form of incense, something a priest would use in doing worship, showing that Jesus is the great high priest. And finally, they gave him the gift of myrrh. And myrrh is a special perfume used to put on dead bodies to recognize this Jesus would one day die as the sacrifice for the world. Now, all those things are true. But when you do more historical study, gold, frankincense, and myrrh just happen to be the tools of the trade for a magi. Somehow, as these magi were studying the heavens and doing their magical arts, they would use gold and frankincense and myrrh. So if you can imagine this, when those magi knelt before the baby Jesus in the house in Matthew 2 and laid before him gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they were laying before Jesus the tools of their trade. It would be like Ewald laying before Jesus his printing equipment. Or if Clarence were here, or Herb is a good example, laying before Jesus his carpentry tools. Those of you who do other jobs, maybe your computers. Rob Roy, maybe the weapons of your military profession. They were laying before Jesus who they were and what they were all about, saying, Jesus, you are our Lord, and we lay before you all that we have, all that we are. You are our Lord. You are our King. The Magi were highly educated, wealthy, foreigners, elite in society. How do they compare to the shepherds? The lowest of the low, the blue-collar, uneducated working man. What is the message of the gospel story? Here it is. That baby, Jesus, is the Lord and Savior of all people, from rich to poor, from uneducated to educated, from lowly to the highest. He is the Savior of all. These were the Christmas guests that the Heavenly Father brought to Mary and Joseph so they wouldn't have to be alone when normally back home it would be a party celebrating their firstborn son's birth. And we end our sermon by asking, how does the visit of the Magi, the wise men, fulfill words of prophecy? We just happened to study this also in Bible class this morning, which meets at 9:30, by the way. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 3, we find this verse. Nations will come to your light. Isaiah was prophesying this, that when the Messiah came, nations would come to him in faith, in worship, and adoration. The word we use in the Bible for nation is the Hebrew word goyim. We're all goyim, non-Jewish people. Isaiah says there will be a day when non-Jewish people will come to the Messiah that came from the Jewish people, acknowledging him as God's light and salvation and God's promised Savior. Goyim, nations will come to the light. But do you remember what Jesus' last words to his disciples were before he ascended into heaven after his resurrection? He told his disciples, and therefore he tells all of us, go out into all the world and make disciples of all nations, all goyim. And you are living proof, you goyim, you nations, that you have come to the light of the Savior, that God has drawn you there, that this baby, Jesus, is the Savior of all mankind. So when the apostles and missionaries of the early church began to go out into all the world to share the gospel of Jesus, that's the reason you're here, because the gospel went to China. The gospel went to Germany. The gospel went to Ireland. The gospel went all over, so that nations would come to his light. Today we can say, hooray for Christmas guests, because out of his Heavenly Father's heart of love for lonely Mary and Joseph, God the Heavenly Father brought to them these special Christmas gifts of shepherds and wise men. And in doing so, the Heavenly Father declares for all of us today, Jesus is the Savior for all people, from all walks of life. Jesus is your Savior. And thank God, he's my Savior too. In the name of Jesus, blessed 10th day of Christmas, blessed Epiphany on Tuesday. God bless us, everyone. Amen.